This podcast is powered by The Plug.
Yo, yo, it's the Life is Dope podcast. I'm your man, Graffiti.
What's good, ladies and gentlemen? It's Davey.
Bro, what's up? How you feeling?
I'm lit.
Man, it's a dope day right now.
It's hella dope.
It's about to be a hella dope episode.
Hella dope, fool.
Very special guest coming through.
Who we got?
But before we get to that, let's get to these sponsors real quick.
That's right, that's right. This episode of Life is Dope is brought to you by Notorious. Mm. Notorious, they're the leaders in urban and hip-hop couture. They provide the most exclusive footwear and apparel, located at the south end of the town center at Aurora, across from Foot Action in Aurora, Colorado,
Word.
And also in the Citadel Mall in Colorado Springs.
Mmm, big up Notorious Lifestyle. We're actually live on location right now.
That's
holding
right.
us down. Shout out.
I'm looking at all these shoes like, yo, I'm not even a sneakerhead, but I might become a sneakerhead.
Right, might become a sneakerhead. Who else we got?
We also have a shout out to PMG Presents. They are the promoting and hottest premier events and festivals. Be sure to check them out. And also special shout out to our sponsor, Antics Street Apparel.
Ooh, shout out to Antics. Holding us down. That's this big ass A on the table right here for the people watching this. That's Antics right there.
Oh, I thought the A was for A.
A.
Where it is.
All right, man. We got anybody else?
Me?
We own it down, man.
Hey.
All right, bro. What's going on in the world?
Man, Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, man. How you feel about it?
Let's talk about it. It's crazy, man.
I mean, but
white people doing white things.
I was about to say, white's going white. Yeah. Is it surprising at all?
You know what I really like? I like how it's progressive and liberal white people who are standing up to these people. Like, black people are like, yo,
right.
We've been doing this shit for like...
Right, it's nothing new.
Like 800 years, we chilling on this one.
Yeah,
like,
that's... I'm not tripping off of it. I mean, everybody's like, oh my God, the Tiki Torch gang. Like, for one, can we talk about how expensive Tiki Torches are? Gotta have a little bit of money just to protest. For
I
one.
Never bought a Tiki Torch.
Them shits cost like $22 at Costco.
I'm bringing candles, forget that.
Yeah, but man, are we surprised? Like, this shit been going on, bro. Is it really even news? Or is it just that we got the internet now, so everything is news?
I mean, it's definitely news, because we have to make sure that we're shedding light on any accounts of racism.
Mm.
And any accounts of Nazism.
Mm.
And any accounts of fascism. Fascism? I don't know. I don't believe in it, so I don't use that word often.
I don't know, man. But like you said, I think we should go ahead and sit this one out, black people. Let them hold that one down. What else is going on?
Let's see. What else is going on? Johnson & Johnson.
What's going on with Johnson & Johnson?
Besides me using it?
No, yeah, I mean... Just news.
No, Johnson & Johnson ordered to pay a woman $417 million in lawsuit linking baby powder to cancer.
What?
Yeah, I didn't even know. So LeBron, that nigga like...
Whoosh, you know, and just cancered up the whole... The damn, so they trying to say baby powder got cancer in it? Or how the fuck does that work?
I don't know how it works. I don't think it has cancer in it, per se. I don't think that's how cancer works. I'm pretty sure it's something that just happens over time through continued use.
Right. How she knows baby powder specifically, though?
Maybe it's just process of elimination. Like, baby powder, that's all I use.
Yeah, that shit's weird. Let's move. What else is going on?
You have to use a lot of... You know how much baby powder you have to use to get cancer, allegedly?
I'm going to find that out. Listeners, Google how much baby powder you need to get cancer.
Like, you got to be, like, bathing in it or something.
No, you really got to be showering like LeBron does. What else is going on, man, before we get to this special guest?
What else is going on? Man, Mystical turns himself in, charged with first-degree rape.
This man right here.
How Danger!
Right, he tried to warn us.
Watch yourself.
How you get caught up on rape twice and you're a celebrity? Like, bruh, come on, bruh.
That's probably how people felt when, like, Michael Jackson had that second kid.
Mm. How did this happen? But Mystical, dog. So is he back in jail? He's locked up?
He turned himself in.
Oh, man. Like, I'm not listening to Mystical no more. I mean, not that I was probably, listening to Mystical still. But
probably the same way we felt when we heard, like, R. Kelly had people trapped in his attic, allegedly.
That's rape, though.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't. Mm. That's a little serious. I mean, but how...
It's tough. It's tough.
It's not tough, man.
Because you want to give Mystical the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Do we want to give Mystical
the benefit? We don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt, because that's what the nigga got locked up for the first time.
And he did it the first time, like, without a doubt.
I mean, I wasn't there, but I think he did it. That nigga did it. 50 Cent voice. Speaking of 50 Cent, though, man.
Yo.
This guest we got coming up.
Hey,
listeners, just a pre-warning. Remember, this man is an actor. His character is just a character. So right. Don't be feeling no type of way about him personally. Because, you know, I'm a fan of the show that he's on. And I might look at this nigga funny when he sits down.
Speaking of being a fan of the show, why they keep turning the fan on? Like, they be sneaking the fan on, y'all.
That's real.
Not slick, yo. Y'all ain't slick.
I was gonna say that because I'm hot, but yeah, man. Shout out to the actual fan. But anyways, oh
y'all
shit,
crazy
man.
For that one. Yo, shout out to the NYPD officers that rallied in support of Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, the police they rallied for Colin Kaepernick. And what did that?
There was also a lot of the Cleveland Browns that had took a kneel for the national anthem too recently.
Do we care? Because it's the Browns. Like, can we get like a real team to actually take a kneel? Do you feel like that's going to be as impactful this season, or is it kind of just like whatever, you know, now?
I would like to see more people support Colin Kaepernick, just because, like, easily that could have been any one of us,
right?
Or that's them, okay. Not me. I'm still broke.
I'm still broke too, man. But obviously, we're just wasting time right now, guys, talking to you guys until our guest gets here. But it's a super special guest. This is a dope-ass episode of Life is Dope.
Lit, lit, lit.
Lit, 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 man. So we're going to go ahead and pop this bottle real quick, and we're going to get right back to you. It's Life is Dope podcast.
That's right. We'll be back. Is steroid use ruining professional sports?
Steroids? I think it's a good thing. Look what it's done to our baseball players. Roger Clemens, my man, he can throw a ball 380 miles an hour. Steroids. After 20 years, that's a bad motherfucker. I think there should be a whole new league where you can have all the steroids you want.
Who cares if you grow another foot?
You got 3 fucking feet? Run, motherfucker. I spent $700 for a basketball game. I don't see a motherfucker fly.
Let them all have steroids.
In boxing, I want to see somebody knock that motherfucker's head off. I want to see a hockey player eat the fucking puck.
I'm going to tell you who needs some steroids. The soccer player.
3 fucking hours. The score is 1-1. Give him some steroids. I want to see the score 115 to 150.
I'll pay to see some shit like that.
But you need steroids.
I'm going to get me some fucking steroids.
I want to be able to bang, bang, bang a girl for about 2 years.
Knock a motherfucker out.
Boom, 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 boom.
And give them to the people going over there in Iraq. Give them some steroids. That should have been over. They had steroids.
Let's go home. We done killed everybody. Come on.
Hey! You kids, quit slamming my goddamn door!
Damn!
Hey, yo, so we're back. This is Life is Dope podcast. I'm still Graffiti.
Hey, what's up? Shit. I'm still Baby.
You drunk already, bro? Damn. Hey,
Slitty 210.
One sip. Hey, man, but I told y'all we got a special guest in the building, like a
super
real
special.
This shit crazy. So y'all see my man on my personal favorite show, Power. Mm-hmm. He's also moving this Jeep music project right now.
You seen him in Burning Sands.
Mm.
Seen him on Boss.
Boss. Seen this man everywhere. He's blowing up. He's kind of blowing up right now, bro.
Hey, man.
But we're going to get to it. Y'all make some noise for my man, Ro Timmy.
Hey.
How you feeling, bro?
I'm blessed, man.
Blessed.
It's cool to go to a place that I've never been and still have support like this.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of dope.
Yeah, man.
Surprised at how many black people are here?
I thought it was just Chauncey Billups for a second.
Players
to the left.
Nah, we got black folks in Denver, man. The shout out. Hey, man, so you busy right now.
Yeah, man.
So you're actually out here on tour.
Yes, sir.
All right. This is your first big tour?
This is my first nationwide tour.
Crazy.
Congratulations.
And thank you, bro. And it was cool because, you know, August, I seen a, you know, invited me on it.
Yeah.
And it was perfect timing with the show being out, then the project coming on, and just the summer being like available and pushing my single Want More.
Right.
It's just been a perfect time, and every city's been love, like super love.
Right. That's what's up, man.
Can I give you some advice?
Talk to me.
If a chick named Selena Powell introduced herself to you, just say no.
Say no, bro.
Anybody else? Anybody else tonight?
Who was that?
Anybody else tonight? You can talk to.
Just no.
Just no.
Say no. She's looking out for you.
Yeah, she set them up.
No, Selena. Matter of fact, everybody in here. No, Selena Powell. Just say no.
Don't let Selena Powell in the concert.
That's so funny.
Word, man. So let's talk about the music a little bit.
Let's do it.
What's your favorite track off this Jeep Music Volume 1?
I think my favorite track would be What We Do.
Okay.
Because the project is a real story. Like, I really went through the stuff that... You can I curse on you?
No, yeah. Say the fuck you want.
it was a personal story that I went through, man. And, like, I lived it. I was a college kid. Right. My girl, and then she was with me until when I first got on the power. Mm. So it was a lot of ups and downs in that 4 or 5 years that, like, we went through it. Like, she saw me do things like this. It was an up and down, and I had to write it. So What We Do is basically, like, the whole story in one song.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I really liked Living Foul.
Yeah, that was a true story as well.
Like, I felt like that was more my life.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like you know, you go through things and you just, I was able to document it, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So Jeep Music, why the title?
Well, she actually is known for having this white Jeep in Jersey, and that Jeep followed us throughout our whole relationship, man. So like, it was just a kind of like a cool metaphor, just kind of like to sit on top of it and conquer that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And y'all were together for 5 years.
5 years. Yeah.
That's what's up. Okay.
Go ahead.
You want to go? Go ahead. I got a specific question.
So I was watching another interview, and you totally fumbled this question, so I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. What's going on with you and Superhead? Was there ever anything?
No, bro.
See? There you go. Nah. That's how you answered. last time you was fumbling it. Like,
nah, you know, it's just rumors, you know, bullshit you deal with as a celebrity in 50. Because the thing was, we were talking about college, and all of a sudden he was like, "Oh, so what about this?" And I was like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
So it kind of caught me, but nah, hell no.
Yeah. I was gonna say, how hard is it to almost say transition? But how do you separate Rotimi the artist from Drake from Power? Because I know somebody got run up like, "Man, why you set up Julio like that?"
I mean, no, you know.
Because I almost asked you when I see
you know,
you come
again,
in.
Like it's a testament to the writing. You know, like Courtney's so ill with the pen that like she makes you forget that. The way Dre's turning into, he's a baby Ghost.
Mm.
Ghost did the same things to get to where he was, and has done way more. You know what I mean? It's just that...
Told y'all.
It's being seen through somebody who's going against Ghost.
Right.
So it's cool, but like, again, that's how you're supposed to feel, because there is no more Lobos. There is no more other things. So who's going to be their villain? You know what I mean? So, and for them to trust me enough to be able to carry that work,
yeah,
you know, that's amazing. And I mean, the two are very different, you know, like, I'm nowhere near, I'm not Dre at all, like, in terms of ambition, like, I want to be the best, you want to be the best, and that's the only thing we kind of, like, have similar traits with.
Out of all the characters that you've played, from Power to Boss to Burning Sands to Betrayal to Black Nativity to Divergent, what do you think, which character is most like Rotimi?
That's a good question, bro. I'd say Boss, Darius.
Okay.
Darius and Boss. Because, you know, he was a young kid that's in a situation that he knows he's better than.
Mm-hmm.
And he fell in love with the wrong woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Amen
and
to that.
And so, you know, and I kind of have a similar, not that I fell in love with the wrong woman, but, you know, I was, clean it up. Yeah, it was more so just like, I'm trying to still figure it out. And he was trying to figure it out too in that situation. So I kind of can relate to him.
Okay. Do you see yourself kind of taking on some different type of roles in the future? Like,
because
now with you being so big on Power,
you
might kind of fall into getting typecasted.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is that now, like, again, with social media, like, I'm doing funny videos, you know, and doing, you know.
We definitely gonna ask you about that.
I'll be wilding out on a bike, for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or doing little shit that, like, they see different things. So people in different directors or even some animation people have reached out. So it's like, they're not seeing it as that. They're just seeing that, oh, he can handle this kind of platform on the number one show.
Right.
Oh, we need to see what he can do. So that's kind of where it is for me.
Speaking of funny videos, you want to explain this sexy Nigerian butterscotch?
Sexy Nigerian butterscotch now. Yeah.
What is that?
I have no idea.
That just came out of nowhere one day.
It just came out of nowhere. I was at home, and I'm good friends with Clarity.
Okay.
A super dope comedian. And I was like, bro, let's just do some funny shit, man. Like, because it's just too serious. And this is when I was filming, so I just needed something to just do separate, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I was recording the project, I was filming, so it was like, let's just do something. And
you're actually Nigerian,
so it's
not problematic.
Oh, no, they love it. They love that I'm actually saying that I'm Nigerian and that I'm actually claiming that I'm Nigerian, because a lot of, you know, some artists don't or some actors don't and stuff. So the fact that I'm saying my culture is here, they love it. But it literally just was like, let's just do one and see how it goes. And then it came out and it just went viral. So it's pretty dope.
So here's a socially conscious question.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're Nigerian and you're very much aware of your roots, how do you think it's affected you growing up? Because a lot of black people don't really know where they come from or where their family's from. And, you know, they just say, well, I'm black.
I think I was blessed because my family always made me understand that I'm royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And they always made me feel like I was a king. You know what I mean? My mom said, walk around this way. If you're going to do something, you got to be excellent at it. Like, there's no left, right, or anything. It's you want it, go get it. So when I said I want to sing, and she was like, all right, you want to sing? All right, that means you got to learn how to play the piano. That means you got to learn how to play the violin. That means you got to do this.
Right.
That means I don't want to hear you complain about going to rehearsals. So that kind of mindset is what's allowing me to say, okay, I can balance two careers at the same time right now.
Right. How do you feel the Nigerian background relates to your music?
You know what? In the Nigerian culture, they tell stories.
Mm.
So it was easy and just natural for me to say, you know, I want my first project to be a story, because I remember growing up listening to Fela Kunti, listening to Bob Marley, listening to, you know, Lauryn Hill, which is not an African artist, but soul behind it. It comes from, reggae vibe and stuff. So, like, I grew up listening to those things and just the stories, the storytelling behind it. But even for the single, Want More, I didn't say, I want to do an Afrobeat record.
Right.
It was just like the beat felt so good to my spirit that it was like, I have to do this.
Yeah.
And then I slept on it and I was like, yo, who would be a perfect feature in Cranium? Because his voice is so melodic.
Yeah. That
it works perfectly in those pockets. So,
shout out to Cranium.
Yo, he's a beast, man. He's so under. Yeah, he cut the verse to Want More in 3 minutes.
Damn.
3 minutes.
Word. Yeah, so you are signed to G-Unit?
Yeah.
All right, how did that come about?
The misconception is that I signed to 50 when I got on Power, and that wasn't really what it was.
Okay.
I was working with Fifth for like a year before I ever brought up anything music.
Wow.
And he found out about the music from some A&R at G-Unit who came to one of my sessions.
Right.
So he was like, yo, that's Ro. He was like, yo, tell him to come through. I came through, played the whole project, and he was like, this is exactly what I envisioned for the next 10 years of the label.
Right.
And it was just organically, and plus he respected it, man. Like, I didn't go to him like, yo, check out my mixtape. It was like, if you're gonna see, you're gonna see me, you're gonna see me when it's time. And
sure,
I just trusted myself and I trusted the process.
So at what point did you realize, like, yo, I'm a star now?
I still don't realize that.
You don't
feel
like it? Nah, you know, I'm just literally, bro, like, no bullshit, like, I'm just doing the work, you know? And to do things like this is cool, you know, and I like it because I get to actually look the people in the eye that support me, you know.
Right.
So I think that's really fly. But I think Jamie Foxx told me this. He was like, the day you can say you're a star, you're done.
Mm.
So, no, like, I'm just working, and the fact I'm happy that people support me.
That's real.
Yeah.
Did you ever shoot your shot at anyone on Power?
Nah.
Nah. So I got one more question about Power, and then we're gonna wrap it, because I know the fans is waiting to holler at you. So I got this theory, man.
Yeah.
Like how you spoke on it earlier, you know, like Drake kind of being baby ghost.
Yeah.
I feel like Drake kind of got the juice right now. He got it on some fuck shit, but but he got the juice. I feel like you're gonna turn everybody against each other, and you're gonna rise to power yourself, and you might low key be the next ghost.
Ooh.
Did I say something right there?
New theory.
Hey,
alert.
Man, life is dope, man. Life is dope, hey, man.
Just give
that was a great answer. That was a great
give
answer.
Give graffiti his percentage. Right. Y'all start writing that into it.
Just say, hey, man, stars, you know,
hey,
I write a little
life
bit.
Life is dope.
Great answer, my nigga.
Yeah.
I do got another question.
Okay, okay.
I ask everybody this, though.
Yeah.
One piece of knowledge that you will leave with the world, what would that be?
Trust your intuition.
Mm.
Trust everything that you feel in your spirit, because it's right.
Mm.
That's it. Like, I didn't take an acting class. I never took a class to do any of this, man. Like,
damn.
I just literally trust what feels right to me. So if you trust your intuition, trust your first instincts, man, you're going to be golden, because that's like the special place that nobody else has besides you. This society makes you so insecure about, oh, I need an iPhone 6 because iPhone 7 came out. I need it. It puts you in a place of, I need, and you have all of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Damn.
That's real.
Straight up.
Well, absolutely. As far as how can people connect with you as far as social media and...
Oh, at Rotimi Music, R-O-T-I-M-I Music on Instagram and Twitter, Rotimi. Yeah, Jeep Music Volume 1 is available everywhere.
Go listen
Want
to
more.
That.
Oh, Cop man, that. I promise you, y'all gonna love it. Want More right now is out featuring Cranium, and keep supporting Power Season 4. Oh,
yeah, awesome. Yeah, well, we appreciate it. Y'all make some noise for my man, Rotimi.
Hey,
Life is Dope Podcast. I'm your man, Graffiti.
And I'm Davey.
Skirt.
Hey.
This is Sarah Hubbard, host of You and Me Kid, a podcast about starting and raising a family on your own. We just launched season 2, and I'm speaking with single moms, those still considering, and experts in relevant fields to give you a real sense of what the day-to-day experience of solo parenting looks and feels like. Plus, this season, I've partnered with California Cryobank, the number one sperm bank in the U.S. So wherever you are in the process, this podcast provides some support, humor, and helpful information. Listen to You and Me Kid wherever you get your podcasts.